Good morning, everybody. I will show you how I program a BZIP2 data compression encoder in Ada from scratch during two rainy weekends. So my motivation was fun, first of all, a challenge, a bit of a warm-up for Advent of Code, the latest. And on a more serious note, I wanted to fill a gap in the ZipAda library, which is the BZIP2 encoder was missing. There was a decoder right to the yellow cell, but there was no encoder. It was absolutely, this gap needed to be filled. And my expectations were quite low because this BZIP2 scheme from experience compresses not a lot of kind of files better than, for instance, LZMA. The algorithm is mostly mechanical, so on most steps you have only one way to encode the data, but not all steps. And BZIP2 is actually is a weakened version of first BZIP, so it's very old. And at the time there were patents about arithmetic encoding, and the author had to change to Huffman trees. But the results of my programming exercise were absolutely surprising. So I got two very good surprises. Of course, I keep them for the end. So I will explain you the BZIP2 compression scheme in 15 minutes. Some people are skeptical. No, actually, the BZIP2 is completely unusual as a compression scheme. It's super simple. I promise you, it's simple. First of all, it's not a streaming adaptive scheme. It doesn't use sophisticated technique. You have twice run length encoding, which is the most trivial way of compressing data, just a repeated sequence of exactly the same symbols, and a few other techniques. So once you have treated your block on step two, you output everything in one go. So it's basically an offline algorithm. You see in the green box the ADA code. Of course, some is missing in the red ellipses, a few hundred of lines. But basically, you have all the steps with these codes. It's super simple. For instance, the one of the run length encoding, you don't even have, it's very smart, you don't even have a special symbol to say, ah, now there is a run. Automatically, after four symbols, you have an extra byte saying, ah, you have a run, and with the length, the extra length. So it's very smart, and you have a gain from the sixth symbol. Now, the core of the BZIP2 algorithm is a mysterious transform called Burroughs-Wheeler, which is a bit, yeah, the history is also funny. I don't go into details, but basically you take the blue message on the top left, you shift it, as you see in the left box, you sort all the lines. The rag box contains the results of the sorting, and you output the red column, the rightmost column. That's the output of this transform. That's as simple as it is. The fascinating thing is that you can reverse this transform. So this letter soup on the right can be reversed. If you know the index of the original sentence. So basically, you don't compress anything, and you just you also have an extra information, which is an integer. And you wonder, but what does it have to do with data compression? The data on the right, the red thing, it doesn't look in this example more compressed or compressible or whatever than the blue message. But let's have a look on a larger example. So here I take the source code of the encoder itself as a test data, and you see there are lots of repetition with this transform. And that's, of course, the reason you can do compression with that. You have lots of repetition, so you can do, again, run length encoding. And before the run length encoding, you do move to front transform, which is, again, super simple. Imagine you have a card deck which is sorted at the beginning, and if you take the card number 6, you have the index number 6 because the original sorting. And after, it becomes a bit more complicated because the cards are progressively shuffled. But the interesting feature, the cards that appear more often have a lower index, and that's very prone to compression. For instance, card number 6 appears after a third time, the index is lower. And the final step, here it's a bit smarter, and it's more difficult. It's the entropy coding, so it's compression with Huffman trees. So the author of this scheme had the bright idea to not have a single entropy coder. You can choose between 2 to 6 Huffman trees, which are completely freely defined. Of course, you try to do it efficiently. And also, for each group of 50 symbols, you can allocate one of these 2 to 6 trees. So here, you have lots of room for optimization. It's where the elements are squeezed properly. So the results of my exercise after the last rainy Sunday, to say it politely, I would say, what the, okay, but there's a camera, so yeah. Holy cow. So on the third bar, you see the compression of the original BZIP2 scheme, the one that you find everywhere, especially on Linux. Through the zip utility, it's using this algorithm if you take the right switch. In the middle, you have 7-zip. You know, everybody use 7-zip. So if you tell it, take BZIP2 encoding, here you go. And on the left, here is the compression with the new encoder I just wrote. So I was totally surprised that it's compressed better than these tools that are developed for decades. To be mentioned, again, BZIP2 is very good for human written texts, like e-books, and also source code, of course, not automatically generated source code, but human written source code, and less good for other things. But for these things, it's very good in general, and surprisingly, my implementation is better. And the second surprise, what happens if you have a mix of different data type? So you have many benchmark data, test data, called corpus, like the classic Canterbury, where you have images and other kind of things, and also source code and ebooks. And the second surprise was that even in this context, by using the ZipADA preselection option, which picks the right algorithm depending on the data type, the overall archive size is smaller than not only 7-zip with the maximum compression for a zip archive, but also the second bar on the down on the bottom box with the 7z archive, which combines all the files together. So it was also a super rejoicing surprise there. And yeah, so what are the, since we are in the ADA dev room, what are the benefits of ADA, except that you apparently you can make a winning encoder in 2 days, in 3 days, so quickly. I would say regarding data compression, it's very difficult to debug. If you have a bug, you almost have to start from scratch, because the output is random. So a wrong random doesn't look like better than or worse than the good random data. And really, ADA does its best to do the things right the first time. It finds tons of dumb mistakes, programming mistakes, and if you use the customizable, you can create as many custom types as you want. So I've listed range types in the box here, and also if you use these types, you cannot mix too easily an index with an element, and these kind of mistakes you sometimes do. Plus, you can define subtypes, so it's range types with a very tailor-made range. And in compression, you always have very strictly delimited ranges, so it's perfect. A perfect fit for that. And in the two of the types listed there are data dependent, so it depends on the data you are compressing. So it's kind of, you actually have dynamic types in ADA, so they depend on some data features. So, yeah, that's it. Questions? Yeah?
How do you runtime and memory usage
differ? Runtime and memory usage. I didn't try to save too much in memory. So you have a few megabytes of memory usage. You could squeeze it to perhaps 1 megabyte by reusing things. But nowadays, a few megabytes, it's not so, yeah. Yeah. So how does it scale? This format is by design limited to 900 kilobytes. Because there is a reason. Because you remember the strings that were sorted. The sorting of these strings explodes with the size. So you have to slice your data into maximum 900 kilobytes. So it's very easy with memory. You can allocate as you want. You don't need to spare too much. And runtime, there is some improvement to do. I'm using the standard ADA sorting, and I should use more specialized sorting for that. But it's for later. Yeah. It runs conveniently fast on most data, I would say. Yeah. Similar to 7-zip.
When you say 900 kilobytes, it's the window, right?
So, no, it's not. You take the first 900 kilobytes, you process it, you take the next, and so on. It's very. It's very special. It's not a streaming compression scheme. It's really you take a block, you process it offline, you output it, and so on and so on. Question?
This first plot you showed, the y-axis, what was it represent?
Sorry, the what?
The first plot you showed, the y-axis, what was it represent? Sorry. The first plot you showed, the y-axis, what
the
was it
The y-axis? Ah, the y! Ah, it's the size. They just on the... So... This one, it's just bytes, compressed bytes. Yeah. Of course, it doesn't go from zero, but you cannot compress to zero as well. So, so 1 minute left. So I have to wait 1 minute. Okay. So I can start with the next one, no?
No more questions. Okay. Thank you.